Today with Kino Cummings.
We all have a voice. Use yours. Call 021-446-0567.
Join the conversation.
On Cape Talk.
It is 6 minutes past nine and a very good morning to you. So good to be back and to just have conversations about the issues that you feel very strongly about. The one thing that made me smile last week, though, you know, I was just thinking this weekend about this Norwegian Nobel Committee. They've decided to award that Nobel Peace Prize for 2019 to the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed Ali. Actually, it's his full name. I call him Abiy Ahmed, but his name is Abiy Ahmed Ali, for his efforts to achieve peace and also international cooperation. He's also released these journalists, and he's a young guy, he's in his 40s, etc. And I was asking myself, why is it possible that on this continent, and people knock this continent all the time, you can have an Abiy Ahmed, for example, who does what he does quite decisively. You've got Rwanda's president, who's also quite decisive when it comes to technology. Yet, I mean, a lot of the much older guys on the continent tend to be very slow, tend to have not changed their ways. And I don't think it's an age issue. I don't think it is. I really don't. But I do think it's a will issue. In South Africa, we've got the infighting. You've got all these people who still run liberation movements, you know, decades into a new democracy. And that is how they operate. The collective speaks. There's infighting. We've had the last two Zuma year terms, for example, and the damage that that's done. And yet we have a president, and you've heard his newsletter, talking about what we need to do, but there's nothing concrete in there other than one of the examples, was him saying that we need a standardized form that big corporations and small businesses can fill out. But what happened to empowering the small businesses to be at the level where they can fill the form out in the first place, for example? So I'm putting it out there. We do have good leaders in Africa. We've got, Mauritius that we can look up to as well. They're doing pretty well. What would you like to see happen right here? I would like to see a meritocracy in South Africa as well, and not just people being put in certain positions because they happen to be part of the Democratic Alliance or they happen to be part of the African National Congress, and they get put into really important positions, but they don't necessarily have the skills and the know-how. So that's the one thing I'm putting out there for you to talk about. And then, before we actually do this, I just want to play this one little bit. There was a discussion after the Nobel Peace Prize was handed out. And before I go to the other issue that I would love to throw out there, which was this marathon and, this person's broken the 2-hour limit and there's a lot of fanfare about it. Before we do that, just to encapsulate what I've been saying about Abiy Ahmed and the character, there was an interview done with the Nobel Committee around him and his character as well.
Well, we do hope that we identify a laureate who has made achievements that fits the will, but also that it is a person who is has a personality and who is dignified enough to carry this most prestigious prize of the world. And of course, this is a debate. If we always identify the right person, but we are confident that Prime Minister Abiy has the qualities that are necessary to carry this most important prize.
The Prime Minister also has a background in the UN peacekeeping forces. Is that of importance in this case?
Well, as I understand, both his academic career and his military career and his career in public administration have definitely been ingredients to develop his political thinking and his personal interests that has enabled him to be a relatively young man and carry out these formidable efforts that he in fact has carried out.
Well, there we go. There's a man of character, a man we as a continent can be proud of for now. I'm sure he'll continue it. But do we have anybody of that stature, someone who could even potentially win a Nobel Peace Prize in South Africa? I'd love to hear from you. 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp at 072-567-1567. Now, moving on to another story that really caught my attention. And we're talking about the sub-2-hour marathon. Now, the world was abuzz this weekend with a successful attempt by a Kenyan runner, Eliud Kipchoge, I think is how you pronounce his name, to run a marathon in under 2 hours. So let's take a listen to the commentary as he approached the finish line. Let's take a listen.
This is history unfolding on the streets of Vienna this morning. It's a Saturday run like we've never seen before. Listen at the noise, the crowd getting right behind him. Goodness me, 300 metres to go. He can see the finish line here. Neil Armstrong we had on the moon in 1969. We had Roger Bannister, the 4-minute mile 65 years ago. Edmund Hillary, the first man to climb Everest in 1953. We have 1 minute to go. Eliud Kipchoge is on his way here.
It's not going to be a minute.
This humble farmer who used to run 2 miles to school every day and back. He used to go to the nearest town on his bike to sell milk at the local market. And now, through hard work and discipline, he's pointing. Come on, he says. Eliud Kipchoge has the hand of history on his shoulder. He has less than 200 metres to go. Eliud Kipchoge, let's keep an eye on the clock, into the final 20 seconds. Eliud Kipchoge.
Whoa!
On his shoulder, 140, the unofficial time.
There's his wife.
Eliud Kipchoge storms into the history books in Vienna. 159.40, the unofficial time. The first man to run a marathon in under 2 hours. One final lung-busting stride for Kipchoge. One giant leap for human endeavour.
Well, there we go. Hey, Eliud Kipchoge, as they call him. I'm sure it's Kipchoge. But anyway, and there are lots of people who celebrated this. You know, it's not officially recognised as a world record, but there's one person who's been quite vocal about all of this. Simon Gear, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Kino. It is indeed Eliud Kipchoge. It's a Swahili name, so he's, they don't have to up there in East Africa. Yeah, that's the first time I've actually heard the commentary of it. Mm. And to be honest, I'm now even more irritated by the whole thing.
Why?
Because this was an exhibition that was a combination of a marketing thing from Nike with a new set of shoes that they've got. And then obviously the sponsor sort of had their name all over it. It's a big oil company that did it. But what they did was they got 35 of the world's top runners and really, really top guys, Lopez, Lemong, Centrovitz, Bernie Legat. Like, these are guys who are the absolute cream of the world middle distance. And they ran a relay with him, giving him – so that gives you two advantages. Firstly, pacemakers definitely enable you to keep on pace. So you use up no mental energy whatsoever doing any calculations or worrying about whether you're going too fast, too slow, anything like that. So it's a very restful way of running mentally. Then at that pace, at 250, there's a windbreak effect as well. And I've experienced this myself running marathons, and my marathon pace is about 410, 415 a K, much, much slower, more than a minute slower per K than Eliud is going, and there's definitely a windbreak effect when you can get in close behind a runner. So he basically ran in a windbreak, plus he had these pacemakers right the way through. This guy is already the world record holder for the marathon. 201.39 is his record that he set in Berlin last year. So he is a phenomenal athlete and a really, really nice guy. But this was an exhibition purely to be seen if it could be done. It was not going to the record books. It is not on a par with Roger Bannister's 4-minute mile, which was set admittedly in an exhibition race, but the guys who paced Roger Bannister were still started with him and stayed with him the whole race. So it wasn't, you know, it was a genuine race situation. This would be the equivalent of, let's say we said for the next Barcelona game, Lionel Messi is not going to have the offside rule apply to him. Let's see how many goals he can score. Of course, we wouldn't make that big a deal of that being now a record number of goals. Similarly, let's allow KG Rabat to throw the ball instead of bowling it. Can he take 10 wickets in an innings? If he did, it wouldn't matter. We wouldn't care. So, yes, this is kind of fun. It's a curiosity, but it's absolutely no more than that. And to be honest, it's slightly distasteful because the next guy, the guy who does actually do this, and Eliud Kipchoge may well be that guy, The commentators are going to say he's the first to break 2 hours in race circumstances. There's going to be that little asterisk. That is put to it. And I honestly believe it steals the thunder from the guy who actually does it properly.
Okay. So basically you needed race circumstances, and there's enough that they've done there to have given him a distinct advantage, at least.
Oh, indeed. Look, bear in mind, there's no one else in the world who probably could have broken. No, there's a lie. There's probably another 2 or 3 guys who could have broken 2 hours in those circumstances. The only real surprise here is that Elliot didn't smash it by even more. You know, he was already a 2:01:40 marathoner. If you or I ran a race in those circumstances with that amount of support, we would also break PB. So it's no great surprise that he did it. But to break 2 hours, you still need to be the best marathoner in the world to even give it a bash. But okay, it's certainly not the performance that it was made out to be by that clip.
Well, thank you so much for giving us your thoughts on that, Simon Gere. He's not just a weather guy, by the way. Simon also is a runner himself, as you've heard. By the way, what's the weather today, now that I've got you on?
Well, it's actually a pretty gorgeous day, isn't it? Eh?
Clear skies,
a little bit of light cloud in the upper air to make the sky look interesting in Cape Town.
Oh, wonderful, Simon. Thank you very much for that. Maybe you'd like to respond to Simon. Maybe you think Simon's off point. Maybe you think he's on point. Maybe you agree with him. Maybe it's the discussion you've had over the weekend. You certainly can pick up the phone and dial 021-446-0567. And then the city of Cape Town has decided that there are going to be no designated areas to shoot off firecrackers. So when we talk about Guy Fawkes, when we talk about all these events where people believe that they need to go and buy a truckload full of firecrackers, etc., and set them off on a beach, for example, then, quite frankly, Bloberg Beach was one of those areas. And you still have to ask yourselves, what about the animals in the area? How about them being affected? So I'm one of those people saying, I actually couldn't give a hoot because I never ever went to any of those spectaculars. I was dragged there once, but I'd rather just stay at home and keep it safe, because you get some interesting things that happen around these things as well. People decide that they should be bringing alcohol, and it just becomes a mess. And then you have traffic resources that need to be used for what exactly? Anyway, you might disagree with me on that particular point, but I think some people might even argue that, people are going to do it in any case, so you might as well just put designated areas. Even with the designated areas, people still did it in other spaces. But let's have that discussion this morning on 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. Good morning. Welcome to Today. Keto with you till midday.
Cape Talk. Cape Talk. WhatsApp Keno.
072-567-1567.
Just a quick one. Yeah, we were talking about no one in South Africa is actually in the running for a Nobel Peace Prize or any other prize for that matter, given where we are, right? But I got this message. Kino, seeing as we've got nobody in contention for Nobel currently, we can claim some credit for Prime Minister Abe, as his postgraduate studies in cryptography were conducted in Pretoria in 2005. There's it. You have it. He is ours. Hey, Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed Ali is South Africa's and we claim him. Man, let's grab more straws. But I like that. Thank you very much for alerting us to that. Maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about the firecrackers that people let off for Guy Fawkes and the rest of it. The city saying, well, we're not going to have designated areas anymore. And for one, I'm happy Bloberg Beach isn't a designated area. You always hear of people hurting themselves and all sorts of other stuff. And then think about the animals. They'd have to put up with all these loud crackers. Only challenge, though, is how are you going to police it in general? Anyway, maybe you'd like to comment on that.
I'm quite indifferent about it, I suppose, as you are about the firecracker issue. I have great memories as a kid of sitting off those firecrackers and Guy Fawkes being an event. But I wonder now, as I'm sort of older, I suppose more enlightened, you know, what is it? Is it our holiday? Is it our tradition? Or are we carrying on something that's just not ours to carry on? I'm also more aware of the effects on animals that I probably wasn't as a kid. And so I have no interest in carrying it on for my children, those traditions and those memories. So I suppose I'm as indifferent as you are, but I have really great memories as a child of setting off those firecrackers. And I wouldn't take that away from myself, but I don't necessarily think that those are... That my kids need those memories. I don't know if that makes sense.
Thank you very much for that. Much appreciated. Yeah, I am rather indifferent about it, as you point out. Does it add value to a child? I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure it'll bring back some great memories, but is it significant? I don't know. Maybe you can help me out with this. But there is that one issue of a lack of resources and being able to monitor where people are letting it off in any case. Because now, some would argue, people would be letting off these firecrackers in the backyard. But I do think, like smoking, neighbors will get involved and maybe call the police and say, hey. And the only other thing I think the city can do is to give out a massive fine of maybe 10,000 rand or more. If you are found to have contravened that, maybe even just ban businesses from selling it at all. Firecrackers. Just ban them from selling it. Because if you're not going to have a designated area, if it, by all intents and purposes, is going to be banned, then you might as well ban the sale of it in the city of Cape Town. Is that possible? And then there's another wonderful thing that made my heart tingle. Now, this Good Things Guy website's really cool. And there was a story, I think it was last week, about a Angie Paris Lismore, who started a single parents group as a way for parents to learn about each other, but also lean on each other. Now, at the moment, it is matric don season, as you might or might not know, and you know what that means. Everybody's going to get out the latest, the zhuzhest dress. They're going to figure out which car is going to be the better one. Now, the group have pooled their resources, and they're helping a few single parents send their children to their matric dances. Now, the parents involved with the group, you know, they supply the children with toiletries, school clothing, school books. They help, you know, cover the school camps that a lot of young people have to go to as well. They also focus on assisting children in getting through school without worrying about, you know, their parents struggling financially. I just think it's so wonderful in a country where, once again, we tend to be sidetracked by a lot of the negative, not that we shouldn't be focusing on it, but there's so much good happening on the ground and the value of the network. Maybe there's a network that you are part of that really makes a difference, and you'd like to talk about that. You can call in on 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. I mean, this group also supports single moms with new babies. I mean, they're invited to step forward to help, to give advice and anything else that they may need. It's just wonderful to have other like-minded people going through the same thing you're going through to be able to assist. It just makes you feel so much better. So maybe there's something similar happening in your neck of the wood and you want to talk about that. I'm also about celebrating the lekker things that are happening in the country. Let's go to Denise and Rondebosch. Hi there, Denise. Good morning.
Hi, morning, Kina. I just have got three men in my home at the moment. They're from Telkom installing fiber because I especially asked them, you know, who they were. This is through MWeb. And not a uniform, not an identity, cash or nothing. And I said to them, aren't you supposed to be in uniform? Yeah, the one says mine is dirty. The other one says I'm actually the driver. You know, I'm sure Telkom supplies these things, but, you know, they're just the ones, pants are hardly even up over his backside. You know, it's unacceptable. And there's three of them, not one in uniform.
Yeah, but I mean, you let them in.
Well, I knew they were coming. you know, they needed to say that they were there. But still, it's just, you know, unprofessional.
And I agree. And companies need to be... Now, first of all, they need to give them enough uniforms to go around.
There are plenty. When the guy who said his one is dirty, I said, how many have you got? He said, two. So I said, well,
there's the other one? Oh, forgot to wash it. Not good enough. Denise, but thanks for alerting us to that. Denise and Rondebosch. But more of your calls throughout the show. Hey, we're going to be wrapping up our open line now. But much more of your calls, many more of those calls throughout the show on 021-446-0567. And then WhatsApp at 072-567-1567. I also like you to cross your fingers for me, please, and anything else you can. Because I spoke to Bonginkosi Madikizela this morning. And I said, MEC Bongi, we've done our research, we've collated numbers, and since January, it looks like 600-odd people have died on our roads in the Western Cape, looking at weekends only. That's about 16 people per weekend. And I wanted to get him on to talk about what they're actually investing their money in to make sure that we get these numbers down. Now, they've got some lovely tech, but unfortunately, a lot of that tech is reactive. I'm not saying the tech's terrible, because we did see it, and I think we did an interview about it. And yeah, some of it's really good tech. But what are we going to do to monitor driver behavior in real time, for